nuclear time bombs.
Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. This is Tom Pounder, and welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. This is where student and online ministers go to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to bring back my friend Christopher Wesley. Just like Justin the week before, I've been trying to track down Christopher for quite some time, but just like Justin, he's been very busy. And so I was finally able to connect with him, and I'm really excited about this topic that we're going to be talking about today. It's something I think a lot of ministers wrestle through from time to time, but I think this is a topic that's really specific to student ministers, and specifically that why do student ministers leave? What is the reasoning behind student ministers leaving their current ministries? And so I'm really excited to have him talking about why do student ministers leave and how can we kind of help prevent that from happening, especially those, again, some of it's natural. You're going to leave because of this reason or that reason, but there's also certain reasons why they leave that they can be avoided. These kind of situations can be avoided. And so Christopher and I really dig into that a lot today, and it's a great conversation. So I'm really excited to catch up with him, see what he's up to, because he's got a lot of great stuff happening right now, and I think you're going to want to hear about that, but also about this conversation as well. So I'm really excited about this conversation, so let's get into the episode right now with Christopher Wesley. All right, with me right now is my friend Christopher Wesley. Christopher, how are you?
I'm doing well, Tom. Thanks for having me back on the podcast. It's great to be here.
Dude, I've been trying to track you down for a while. And so, you know, you're really busy. So, I mean, that's a good thing. So, but it's bad for me.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because you and a couple of my other friends that, you know, when we like talk about this sort of stuff, I have been hard to get a hold of me and everything. And the busyness is for good reasons, but I've been a bad friend.
So. No. It's good. It's good. Yeah. Well, I'm glad that we're able to sit down and talk today. Just give people real quick, in case they've never heard a podcast with you and I before, what do you do? And then we'll get into Marathon Youth Ministry a little bit.
Yeah, definitely. So again, Christopher Wesley, and I am the founder of Marathon Youth Ministry Incorporated, which even if you have heard me on this podcast before, this is something brand new. I started a company back in 2016, where I am consulting and coaching churches as well as youth ministers specifically, but I do other church employees as well, where I want to just talk about organizational health and professional development. And when I work with churches, it's coming in, assessing the situation, talking about some of the big obstacles that are standing in the way of churches really going in the direction that God's calling them to go. And so that's what we do through coaching and consulting. And then the website is about creating resources that are going to help youth pastors, church workers, pastors, you know, again, develop their staff and their strategy.
Yeah, dude, you've got a lot of great content. I can vouch for you to say that I love anytime I see that you pop up and like, oh, man, Christopher's got a new blog out, whether it's on Download Youth Ministry or on their own stuff. You know, I just love reading your content. So if you're looking for some for people to be coached by, you got to look at Christopher Wesley and Marathon Youth Ministry. What's the website real quick?
It's simple, marathonyouthministry.com. You go there and you can read more about the one-on-one coaching. You know, I have to kind of give a little disclaimer because, you know, part of the reason I've been busy is we're in the process of kind of growing the company. I have a couple of interns and people that I'm bringing on to sort of expand my capacity and everything. So you'll start – it's a good time to sort of follow what's going on with the company because you're going to see some things develop and some new products come your way. So it's a really exciting time.
Dude, that's cool. Can I be your intern? Can I be one of your interns?
Yeah, it pays horribly. It's funny. I feel like Ernest Shackleton when he was advertising for people to go to the South Pole with him, you know. And I'm like, hey, if you want to work with me, it pays really poorly. It's going to be a lot of hard work. We don't know whether or not we're going to survive, but when we do it, there's going to be a lot of glory, and we're going to make an impact on the kingdom. So, yeah.
Dude, well, I definitely know that you've got a great mind and a great vision for youth ministry and beyond that. Mm-hmm. And so, again, I will give my two cents of, if you're looking for someone to coach you, Christopher Wesley, Marathon Youth Ministry, is a perfect opportunity for you to get plugged in.
Tom, that means a lot. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. I wouldn't say if I didn't believe it, so I really believe it. And that's why I love having you on as a guest for the podcast. Hey, real quick, though, don't you have a new book out, too?
Yeah, and so back in January, late January, early February, my second book, Rebuilding Confirmation, came out. And actually, it's the follow-up to Rebuilding Youth Ministry. And one thing I tell people is that I actually liked writing this book a lot better than the first book, probably because, one, I had a clue of what I was doing in regards to writing a book.
Yeah.
But secondly, it's a part of ministry, especially in the Catholic Church, that I'm really passionate about. And I really wanted to kind of ask and then answer some big questions when it comes to discipleship and faith formation for the next generation.
Yeah, I know that I took confirmation when I worked for the Episcopal Church. Actually, when I was a child, I went through confirmation in the Episcopal Church. But then I also led a confirmation. And so I don't do that anymore. But if I was in that traditional context, I would definitely want to look at your book some more.
Yeah, yeah. And so they can get that at Amazon or Ave Maria Press, the publisher, or at marathonyouthministry.com.
Dude, that's awesome. Okay. Well, let's get into the conversation about why student ministers leave the ministry. I mean, we can broaden it out even to why the ministers leave. But this was a topic you presented to me, and I was like, we got to talk about this. So let's talk about this. What made you want to talk about this today, Christopher?
Yeah, so as a coach and consultant, and then also recently leaving the church that I worked at, and now that I'm in a new church, I've been thinking a lot about, you know, the longevity of youth ministers, or not just youth ministers, but people in church ministry. And, you know, part of the reason I called my company Marathon Youth Ministry is because of that adage. And as cliche as it might sound, like, what we do is a journey. What we do is a marathon. But there are stumbling blocks along the way. There are things that happen that kind of change that course. And more specifically, I was talking to a client recently, and this person was just so heartbroken. We've been working on kind of the way that they interact with the rest of their church staff. And they're really going through this, I consider it a crisis, whether or not God is calling them to stay or God's calling them in another direction. And so, you know, not that I want to coach someone out of a job any means, but it's definitely this big question where you're going to hit moments in your career where you're like, do I leave or stay? And I think it's an important decision, important discernment process we all need to go through from time to time.
Yeah, well, no, I definitely agree. And again, I've been through different churches and different ministries, and you come to that stage. And some of it, you and I were talking before this, but some of it is some factors that you can't control and then factors you can control. Mm-hmm. What have you viewed as some factors you can't control or can control in this process?
Yeah, some of the things you can't control, you know, if you're the youth pastor and you're not necessarily in a strategic leadership position, the budget. You know, if the church is not sustainable financially, and they need to cut your position, then yeah, that's something you can't control, and that's one reason people leave. You know, and you know, I think that's a huge sore spot too. In fact, one of the things you know we're doing now is sending out a survey on the youth ministry's salary and getting people's insight and thoughts on what youth ministers should be paid or what they think they should be paid and, you know, how much they are. And, yeah, I think that's a big one is this financially sustainable for my family, but it's out of your control if your church cuts your budget and they can't afford you.
Well, no, I agree with you 100% on that, because the reality is back in 2003, I'm dating myself a little bit, but, you know, I worked with Young Life for a while. And at one point, I was just getting ready to have my second child, and our salaries, because of finances, were cut 50%. And I looked at it and it said, I can't continue to live this way. Like, if it was just me, yes, I could do this. But I'm supporting a family now, and I couldn't do that. So I had to look other places, and I actually was then able to find another job at a different church. But you're exactly right. That is something beyond our control. I didn't want to leave Young Life. It just so happened that they couldn't afford to keep me.
No. Right. And another example of leaving, and it's mostly out of our control, is if there's a huge life change in our situation. Like I had a really good friend in ministry, and he was doing well, and he had to leave because he had to go take care of his parents who were who got sick and had to care for them. I know youth ministers, especially when you start having kids, like you were mentioning, where they leave because one parent is going to work and the other one's going to stay at home and watch the kids, whether, you know, that's by choice or just financially, again, makes a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. So there are like life changes in our life. And then there are financial reasons that happen where, you know, we step away from ministry.
Yeah, no, that's so true. I agree with you 100%. Well, what are some factors then that you can say that we control on this whole thing?
Yeah, so a huge factor that I think goes into whether people leave poorly or well is organizational health, right? And I'm a huge fan of Patrick Lencioni, and I love the book The Advantage, where he talks about organizational health and how that trumps pretty much everything else. And so as a youth pastor or as an employee of the local church, if you don't have a healthy relationship with your coworkers, then it's going to be very hard for you to last. And you can will yourself and believe that you're going to outlast them. And there might be circumstances where that does happen, but that's not always the case. And so if you can't work well with the people that God surround you with, then it's going to be a very difficult time to stay there for the long haul.
Now, you know, that's a really true statement. I never really thought about it like that, but I actually can now, as you were talking, I have two specific instances in my career, not with me, but I know from people I worked with, some coworkers that had a really hard time connecting with other people. And that became a problem, and they ended up leaving because of that. And it wasn't because of the staff necessarily, it was because of them. And they they had some problems working well with other people. And I agree. Have you ever read the book, The Emotionally Healthy Leader?
No, but it's definitely on my stack of books to read. But yeah, I've heard great things about that.
Well, that was one of the most recent books I read. And actually, the organizational health book that you just suggested, I'm going to have to track down and read that as well, because I think that would be great for me. But The Emotionally Healthy Leader talks about how you can be emotionally healthy. And again, you know this from working in the churches and stuff, that you can work as long as you want. They're never going to say, don't work. You know, you have to be the person that decides, I've got to set up some boundaries here. I've got to take care of myself and be healthy, or else you're going to work yourself out. And I think that's a big reason why people burn out and drain themselves.
Right. And to the point, the best leaders are healthy leaders. They have boundaries. They understand the difference between work and life balance. You know, I think a huge crisis that I've seen with a lot of youth ministers and youth pastors is the fact that they don't have a day off. I personally believe you should have at least, you know, you should have not at least, but you should have 2 days off and, you know, at least 1 day off. And there's a lot of men and women that I meet that can't even find that 1 day off. Or if they do, it's Monday this week, it's Wednesday the following week, and it's Thursday. And I was thinking about this from, you know, our time is like our money in the sense where if it's not managed correctly, we're going to be a complete disaster. And you think about with money, one thing that they teach you in basic finance courses like Financial Peace is the first thing you need to do with that money is save and give it, right? Like 10% to the church, you know, at least 10% into your savings account, and then you spend the rest, right? And then the rest goes to expenses. It should be the same thing with your time. Like if studies say that we should be getting about 8 hours of sleep a night, if, you know, we as Christians believe that we should have a Sabbath, those should be the first things on our calendar. And then organize the rest of your time around that, you know, and even there are subgroups. It's the, you know, I think it's Stephen Covey's, you know, big rocks analogy. But that should start with our time and the time that we rest. And so we burn ourselves out. We run on empty. We run on fumes.
Yeah.
And we're a lot more difficult to deal with when we are tired.
No, well, you're exactly right. I know this about myself, that when I don't have enough sleep and when I don't exercise, I'm terrible and I'm in a bad spot. Right. So you have to really understand who you are. But I love the fact that you said about just overworking and with as a student minister. Because again, our schedules are so odd, and they're not 9-to-5 jobs, Monday through Friday. I did this Emotionally Healthy Leader book with two other student ministers in our church, and they kept on giving me excuses of why they needed to work all this time. Right. And I'm like, no, guys, I've been doing this now for 20 years. I'm sorry, I do have a little bit of experience. I've been through the ringer a few times.
Right.
I know what burnout looks like because I was really close to getting there at one point.
Right.
And so I'm like, you have to take care of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. And I mean, right. And so there's sleep, there's rest, there's exercise, there's your finances too. Are you taking care of your finances? Because, I remember getting myself into trouble, stressing out about money. And I think it was because my wife was pregnant with our first kid. You know, that's either that or buying the house when you're like, oh my gosh, what am I doing? You know, like,
yeah.
You're realizing things are expensive. And, yeah. And part of the reason I felt that way is I didn't necessarily have my finances in order.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember blaming the church and saying like, well, you're just not paying me enough.
Yes.
And while that's true to an extent, buying a house and having a child are choices. If you're not financially ready to do those things, then you need to act responsibly. And so, what are the extra stresses that you're putting on in your life? The second area that I think is important is the choice that we make on how we interact with our coworkers.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I think is huge, especially with when we come to disagreements or points of conflict. I think too often we want to be nice because nice it sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of my favorite things to do when I sit down with a church for the first time is I'm like, all right, Let's talk about, all the things that are going well. And that's, of course, easy. People talk about what's going well. And then I ask them the question, if your church were to shut down tomorrow, in the Catholic sense, the diocese comes in and says, you're gone. Or, the elder board says, all right, we're going to shut this down. Would people in your community care? Like, not people inside the church, but, people who don't go to church. Would they be like, oh, man, it's such a shame that, Grace, whatever, or Saint, whatever, it has shut down. And a lot of times that's when people are like, oh, yeah, of course, because of this and this and this. And some of it's true.
Yeah.
But rarely do any of the critiques or criticisms come out because people are afraid to talk about the negative.
Yeah.
And because you're not going to talk about the problems or the negative, it becomes very difficult to start to address those problems. And so people just play nice.
Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I am anti-confrontational. I hate confrontation. However, I've learned over the years how to, in a loving way, talk to people about certain things and communicate. And again, it's all about getting to know your coworkers too, and really not just seeing them as tools or means to an end for what you need to do. But if you really get to know them, and you don't have to be buddy-buddy with them, then the relationships and the interactions that you can have with them are much more meaningful, and then you can have those hard conversations too. So,
well, and let me push back a little bit on, like, hating the confrontation, right? I think sometimes so I'm from North Jersey, right outside of New York City, and I have a great coworker. She's from the New York City area too, and there are times where we're discussing a discussion, and if you were walking by and heard it, it would sound like we're arguing and having a very heated conversation.
Uh-huh.
And it's really just because we're very passionate about what we're talking about. And being from that region, we yell at each other a lot. But my point is, I have no problem getting into debates about certain things like my favorite sports team or the best song or movie of all time.
Yeah.
You know, even my faith, I have no problem debating that with certain people and everything. I argue with my wife more than I'd like to at times.
Yeah.
But it's because of passion and trust. Mm-hmm. It's because of passion and trust. If you trust people enough and you're passionate about a certain thing, then you will argue.
Yeah.
Because you know in the end that people are going to value your passion and that there's mutual respect for one another.
Yeah.
And if you don't respect or trust your coworkers, then yeah, you're not going to want to get into a confrontation with them. In fact, you know, sometimes we go away from that because we are afraid of how people are going to view us. And we don't want to ruin that kind of that facade or that belief that people see us as a nice guy. We want people to see us as good people, but
yeah.
We somehow then mute that passion.
Yeah. No, that's a really good point. I think you're right on that one because it is I love the trust component of it too, in that you have to have that trust with your coworker. That's very true. So that's awesome. So, well, go ahead.
Well, yeah, no, I was going to say, and to have that confrontation. Grant, okay, not everyone likes yelling.
Sure.
I'll agree with you on that. But, you know, at the same time, if you allow that confrontation to happen or that conflict to happen, that's when real answers can come out. And not just real answers, but that's when you can, again, walk away knowing that you're on the same page with people. Recently, I had a meeting with a couple of core leaders, and we were discussing a certain topic. And the majority of the group agreed on this on how to address this certain situation. But there was one person who got really uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so I called her out and I said, hey, listen, I noticed that you're reacting a certain way while people are talking about the subject. Why don't you share your thoughts? And she's like, she started to share that. And then she kind of was like, well, you know what? Nah, it's not a big deal. Don't worry about it. And I was like, no, I want you to be able to share like what's on your mind. And so she shared it and it created a conversation. It was a little uncomfortable at first. But by the end, everyone knew, okay, that's where she is on this page. Yep. And that's where we are on this page. And so we're going to agree to go this way, but at least we know where you stand and be sensitive to that.
Yeah. And I think that's a great point. And I think one other thing that you said too is like, I think sometimes we can confuse confrontation with being yelling at each other and angry. Mm-hmm. Confrontation doesn't have to be a yell and scream, knock down, drag out fight. It's just you expressing your thing. And I loved how you said, hey, listen, I noticed that you're reacting this way to them. Let's talk about that. And that's a great way to approach really tough situations with your fellow staffers. So
Yeah. So kind of going back to these reasons of why people leave. I mean, one, it's, you know, time, burnout, finances, things like that. Secondly, it's, you know, organizational health and everything. And then third, I would say it's just like a lack of vision. It's on that treadmill or that carousel, you know, trying the same things over and over again and not seeing that progress. And that comes back to, you know, just strategic planning. Like, do you have a vision and how do you know you're heading in the right direction? Like if I'm going to climb a mountain, you know, I know where the top is.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I might hit obstacles along the way. And an experienced climber will tell you, like, if you can't go up this one way, then yeah, sometimes you have to go back and figure another way to get to the top.
Right.
And you have to be persistent with all of that. And there's a lot of times where I know people, they hit that 1 year wall or that 2 year wall or that 3 year wall or whatever. And they're just like, all right, I can't do anymore. Youth ministry is not for me. I quit. Along those lines. So yeah, I think it's important to have professional development in regards to strategic planning and a vision.
Well, I love what you just said there because you're so right on that. I think sometimes we think student ministry is a stepping stone. Sometimes people think of that's what it is for student ministers, but also student ministers think about, I just need to get in somewhere, and so I'm going to get in student ministry, and it's a lack of vision. I always assume youth ministry is where I want it to be and where I want it to be long term. And if you have that vision, you're going to fight through it because let's just be honest, any job that you're in, you're going to go through that 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, 7 year itch of sorts and saying, what else is there? And it's that professional development. If you're continuing to train yourself and get better coaching and training, you're going to be a better leader no matter where God takes you in that next step, whether it's student ministry long term or somewhere else.
Yeah, and I'd even add on to that too. And this is something as I start a company and work in another church and work with other organizations, that companies that allow their employees to have like a certain amount of time to experiment and try different things, like Pixar does this, Google does this, Apple does this, where they give their employees a certain amount of time to work on anything besides work, yeah, you know, on company time, it allows them to sort of test that vision and grow within the organization. Like, mm-hmm, youth ministry does not fit into a box because life does not fit into a box.
Yeah.
And so if you're a pastor listening to this, or, you know, you're a director and you have other youth ministers under you, give them time to try things that don't necessarily have to do with your plan of ministry, because they might come up with something that helps the whole church from a next level. So maybe that's experimenting with the student worship band, or doing something with mission and outreach. But give your employees, especially your youth ministers, time to have fun and experiment and test out that vision.
Dude, that's awesome. That is a fantastic, you know, segment there. And I think we're going to end on that because, dude, this was all, I could talk to you for a really long time about that, about this, because it is such a huge issue, mm-hmm, again, not just in student ministry, but in all ministry together. And right, I think the 3 points that you outlined were fantastic. And so what I'm going to do too is say, hey, listen, if anybody wants to talk to Christopher more about this, you got to sign up, go to Marathon Youth Ministry and talk to him. And where can people connect with you other than the website? What's your Twitter handle and then other
things? Sure, sure. So I'm on Twitter and Instagram, and you can find me there at Chris R. Wesley. Again, Chris R. Wesley. And then I'm on Facebook, and we have a Facebook page called Marathon Youth Ministry. And so either through the website or direct message me on social media or in the Facebook page is one of the best ways to get in touch with me. And yeah, anyone who's looking to kind of put their ducks in a row or get things organized or do this for the long haul, I'd be more than willing to walk with them the rest of the way.
So that's awesome, Christopher. And, you know, what I can say, too, is you're very active on social media. So if someone messages you, you're going to respond to them pretty quickly. So yeah, don't be shy about messaging Christopher and talk to him about it. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, especially when you retweet my posts as much as you do, Tom. Of course I'm going to talk to you.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Christopher, well, it was great talking to you, and I can't wait to talk to you again in the future.
All right, definitely. Thanks again.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Christopher Wesley. I love having Christopher on because he's got a ton of experience. He's got a lot of knowledge. And with him really digging into Marathon Youth Ministry and really helping other churches, he's seen a lot of this stuff firsthand. And a lot of this stuff is preventable, as we talked about. A lot of this is preventable. You don't have to get to that point where student ministers just abruptly leave and get out of there. Again, some of it's natural. You're going to leave in due time. But sometimes student ministers leave abruptly, and sometimes they leave too soon. And so how do you prevent that? So I love talking with him about that and processing it with him. But I'm curious, what did you learn from it? What is something that stood out to you? Let's have a conversation online. Go to Twitter, hit me up at TA Pounder, and share with me what is something that you learned from this episode. What is something that stood out to you, or something that Christopher said? I'd love to hear your feedback today. All right, heroes, well, that wraps up for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. Thanks so much for joining me. And as always, if you love this podcast, go on iTunes, rate it, say how much you really love it, but also subscribe to it if you haven't subscribed to it. And hey, even share it with somebody else and say, hey, listen, this is a great podcast that you should listen to, the YM Sidekick Podcast. I would love it if you did that and do some promotion for me. That would be awesome. All right, heroes, well, that wraps it up. I hope you have a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.